Yes, Lord, it is all about you. Today, the service, our lives, Lord, we give everything to you because you gave everything for us. Lord, you died on the cross to give us salvation, to save us from our sins, to give us everlasting life with you. We praise you now, God. We give you our hearts. We give you all the love that we can muster. We thank you, God, for your majesty. We thank you for your glory. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, help us to come humbly before you now and dwell with us as you promised. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may take a seat. Well, once again, good morning. For those of you that are in our church and know, especially are on the prayer chain, you've been hearing some things that have been happening in our congregation and some people that we know. There have been lots and lots and lots of situations that are serious, very serious, tragic events. I won't mention them. We're online right now, and that can go anywhere, and so I won't mention names and things like that. But if you've been on the prayer chain, you've seen time and time again, over and over and over again, deaths in the family, deaths from family or friends, sicknesses, all sorts of things going on. And so we are called to rejoice with those who rejoice, but also to weep with those who weep. And so right now, we just felt like it was a good time for us to take a few moments, and I'm going to pray for our congregation, for our people, for the loved ones that we love and the ones that are hurting and the ones that are suffering. We're going to ask God to be with those and comfort them. So if you would join me once again, let's pray and ask God to help in this time. God, we're overwhelmed right now with what we have seen in our midst with those that have been having loved ones that have passed away or who are experiencing sickness or grief. Lord, there's so much right now. And so we lift up to you, God, every single one of those people that are suffering. We pray for their families. We pray for their friends. We pray for everyone that is grieving right now. God, death is not how you designed everything in the first place. Lord, you designed us to live with you forever. And yet, our sin has caused us grief, and it's caused us to live in a fallen world where death is a reality. And with that comes mourning and grief and pain. And so, Lord, we ask that you, the God of all comfort, who has gone before us and who has suffered, Jesus, you suffered for our sake, Lord. And you know how to sympathize with us. You know how to care for us. You know how to comfort us. We ask, Lord, that you would comfort us in this time. For everyone that is grieving and mourning, God, I pray that you would be with them now. Lord, that your presence would be felt, that your love would be overshadowing them, that they would feel that in a deep and intimate way, Lord. We pray, God, that you would use these situations for your glory's sake. We thank you for everlasting life, that death is not the end, that we can look and grieve as those who have hope in the future because of what you did on the cross and your resurrection. Lord, we look forward to your coming kingdom, God. We ask that you would return quickly. And in the meantime, Lord, as we come to your word, we pray that you would enlighten our eyes to be obedient to you so that your glory can shine through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For those of you who are parents, you know the feeling of that first time where you realized you were pregnant or your wife was pregnant, and that immediate feeling of wanting to share it with your loved ones, the people that you care about. I can remember when we first found out Kendi was coming. We had had a hard time getting pregnant. It took us a long time. It was a brutal, painstaking process. But finally, when Kendi came, we just could not wait to share with our loved ones and tell people all about the pregnancy. Same thing with Holland. We got pregnant while we were here, and we couldn't wait to tell all of you, get excited and communicate with you guys. Holland was on her way. And for those of you parents, you have felt that, you understand that feeling. Because your emotions are meant to be shared with other people. God has designed us and given us emotions, and shared emotions, they foster connection with other people. When we share our emotions with others, we unite with them and we have fellowship with one another. In fact, the greatest union of all, God uniting with us, is described as, among other things, a great sharing of emotions. When we will unite with God, it is described as a joyful experience filled with celebration and fun and excitement. Matthew 25:23 says this in a parable, I believe it's of the talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's what we want God to say to all of us. And then it says, "You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." What is eternal life described as here? It is described as entering into the joy of your master. God has joy that he wants to share with us. That's what eternal life will be. The kingdom will be entering into God's joy. This is what's described all over scripture. It's described as the wedding feast, the feast where we'll all come and we'll all sit at God's table. It'll be a place of joy and happiness and excitement, celebration. This is echoed elsewhere. What does the father do when he sees the prodigal son returning? He runs to him. He's filled with emotion and he runs to his son. We see this elsewhere. Jesus is asked, "Hey, why don't your disciples fast?" And he says, "They can't mourn while the bridegroom is with them. While I am with them, there's no point in mourning. It's time for celebration. There'll be a time for mourning, but not right now." And then, of course, you all know that when we get to the New Jerusalem, Jesus will wipe away all of our tears. And there will be no more pain and no more suffering. Amen to that. There will be no more pain, no more suffering. Folks, when we express our emotions properly towards God, we commune with him. And that's what we are focusing on in this series. We've been talking about, how do we live with God? How do we interact with him? In all the things that we do, how do we abide in Christ and experience his presence with us? We've talked about that with how we gather as a church. We've talked about how we can connect with God in doing the spiritual disciplines like praying and fasting and reading our Bible. And last week we talked about, how do we connect to God using our mind? And today we're going to talk about, how do we connect with God with our emotions? And then next week we'll talk about, how do we do that with our lives and our actions and the things that we do. So just as last week, our minds need to be calibrated correctly for us to properly hit the bullseye, to not sin, as it were, to connect with God in the deepest way possible. We need to do the same things with our emotions. They need to be calibrated appropriately and properly so that we can connect with God. And that is our subject today. Now, when I'm talking about emotions, I'm using that in a very broad term. I'm sure there's other people that would want to parse it really, really succinctly. I'm using it just generally to what you feel and experience. Sometimes those are directed by you, but oftentimes they just come. Those feelings just come. You feel what you feel. And, just going to speak of those in a broad sense. If you're wondering kind of what we mean, here's it's called the emotion wheel, and we're going to put it up on the screen. It may be a little bit hard to see, but let me walk you through some of these things. Each of these has layers of intensity. So on the bottom, sadness, around surprise, fear, trust, joy, anticipation, anger, disgust. These are all different feelings that you have and emotions that come off. And so when you have these, how do we use them to connect with God? Now, if we're going to answer that question, how do we do that? We have to first answer the question and decide whether our emotions are good, bad, or neutral. And to do that, let's start with some foundational truths. So let's look at some foundational things about our emotions that will help us make some decisions on how to connect with God with them. First off, where do emotions come from? Are they evil? Did they come from the fall? No, in fact, they were there before the fall. They were part of creation. When Adam and Eve were created, they had emotions. You see this very clearly when God creates Eve and gives Eve to Adam. What's his first response? He breaks out into poetry. Adam is so excited and so filled with emotion and excitement that he breaks out into poetry and he praises God for what he's created. It was there before the fall, these emotions. Not only did God design our emotions then, he also has purposes for our emotions. They are not just there to torment us, as sometimes it feels, but no, they actually have a purpose. The first thing that they are supposed to do, that they are intended to do, is to reveal God's character. Our emotions are supposed to reveal God's character. So we are made in God's image. And being made in God's image, we share certain characteristics with him. So, for instance, if you see the bully mistreating or picking on the weaker person, and you feel that sense of injustice well over you, right? You feel what that feels like. You feel the frustration and the anger welling up in you, the righteous indignation. That's how God feels. That's what God is experiencing as well. He is there, and we are learning about who God is when our emotions appropriately connect with who he is. Now, as I say that, quick caveat, we need to be careful here that we don't get into some improper thinking. Our emotions are similar to God's. They're not exactly like God and what he experiences. So for us, emotions can hit. We can be tossed and driven by everything that happens. Something will hit. It'll be a difficult time or something will be really fun. And all of a sudden, we're carried away on the wave, so to speak, of our emotions. God's not like that. God has some form of experience. It says that he has joy. It says that he has wrath, but he is not driven and tossed by everything that happens. So it's not as if all of a sudden we are disobedient and he is blown away by us being disobedient and the pain that he feels. No, he is on the rock. He is the rock. He is foundational. He's not driven by emotions the way that we are. And so as I go on and talk about God having wrath or having joy or having these different things, that does not mean that he is driven or tossed by them. So first things first, our emotions, when properly aligned, tell us about who God is. The second thing that our emotions are supposed to do, are designed to do, are to reveal reality. They are supposed to tell us what is true. All emotions are designed to reveal the truth, and whether that's positive emotions or negative emotions. And if you don't know what those are, positive emotions are the things that make you feel up, happiness, excitement, right? And negative emotions aren't necessarily meaning they're evil or wicked, but they're just on the downer side. So we feel sad or dejected. That's what I mean by that. So whether positive emotions or negative emotions, they are supposed to be there for us so that we can understand reality. Let me back that up. Our positive emotions correspond with paradise. They correspond with life with God, right? And when you are in God's presence, you are experiencing joy and happiness and goodness. That is a gift of God that he gives in love. That it's not just we're robots and when we are with God, then we just exist and we're there and we don't feel or experience anything. No. We experience goodness. We experience those fun emotions. And so when we get tastes and glimpses of those now, we have something fun. My daughter does something silly and it gives me enjoyment, or I have a good time. That is a glimpse of what it's like when we're going to live with God forever. These emotions that we're feeling are telling us something that's true. Life with God will be like that. And so then when we feel pain, it's the opposite. It's telling us we're not with God right now. Obviously, our spirits are, but life has not completely entered into the kingdom yet. God is not here reigning in Jerusalem. we don't have him here presently right now. And so there's pain and there's suffering, and that tells us something. We're looking for something better. We're looking for the time where we will be with God forever and all things are right. And so when you feel that sadness, that depression, that dejection, whatever it may be, the mourning or the grief, that's telling you something about where you are. You're not in the promised land yet. C.S. Lewis had this really good quote that is so insightful. Said this, pain insists upon being attended to. In other words, pain is yelling at you and it's saying, you need to listen to me. That's the way it's designed. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. God uses our pain and the suffering that we feel to wake us up, to rouse us from the deafness, from not being able to hear, so that we can understand the truth. There's a better reality that's coming. There's a kingdom where God will reign. And we want to be focused on that rather than this world. And so we've seen that in our church lately. We've seen many people suffering, experiencing cancer. We've seen people lose loved ones. We've seen people get sick. I got COVID and was out for 3.5 weeks. We've all had a number of things happening lately, and this past year and a half has been pain after pain after pain. Guess what? God wants to use that to grab our attention. He doesn't want us to hurt. And the place where we will not hurt is in the kingdom where he reigns. And so our attention, our focus is there, not on this world. But there's even a more important purpose to our emotions. As I alluded to at the beginning, emotions shared unite us with other people, most importantly, with God. When we share our emotions with God, we connect with him. This is the way it works. We had family friends come in last week, and they had four little girls, and Kendi and Brooklyn, their oldest, really connected. So they got together, and as girls do, they shared their emotions, and they shared their joys, and they shared their ups and downs, and they connected, and they talked about how they were feeling. And they became best friends just all of a sudden, one shot. A month ago, Kendi came over and played with Claire, and they got together, and they shared their time together, and they shared their emotions, and they got together, and they were so united, and they were just two peas in a pod going together. And so I came in today and I saw Tim and I said, Tim, started clapping. Why? Because A&M pulled off that miracle victory over Alabama yesterday. And so we had a moment sharing the emotions of that, right? If I'm watching a football game with my brother and we're watching our team, like the ups and the downs, we are united. We're having fellowship by sharing those emotions that are there. This is why we're called in Romans to this, Romans 12, verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Why? Because it brings us together and unites us with one another. God wants us in unity, in friendship and fellowship with one another. And so when someone rejoices, we need to rejoice with them. When they weep, we need to weep with them. So these are a lot of positive things that emotions are intended to do. Reveal the character of God. Reveal the truth. Connect us with other people. And so some groups really elevate emotions. Even some churches do this. And so if you're familiar with charismatic or Pentecostal churches, there's a high emphasis there on emotions. And they value them and they elevate them to a high degree. Now, other churches, and ours would fit in this category, often don't elevate emotions in the same way. And for good reason, because our emotions, like everything else, have been affected by the fall. And our emotions, even though they're designed to do those things, can also backfire and do the opposite. So sometimes emotions lead to the truth, but other times they're misguided. My daughters have at times been afraid of the dark. And so they have this fear come over them. They experience the dark. They don't know what's in the closet, what's under the bed. And so they are worried that something's there, and the fear is driving and telling them there's a dragon or there's a monster or there's something awful. Guess what? That's not true at all. Right? Not true at all. That there's no monster. There's nothing there that's going to hurt them, but their feelings are telling them there is something there. It's misguiding where they are. Thus, our feelings do not always lead us to the true character of God. And they don't always lead us to the true nature of reality. And they don't always unite us with other people. Right? Sometimes you feel like God hates me because I'm feeling this way. Ever had that experience where you're feeling a certain way and all of a sudden you feel like God hates you, or I failed in this way, so I feel dejected. I feel down. I feel worthless. Therefore, I am worthless. Therefore, I'm not worthy of anyone's love. Therefore, God doesn't care about me. That's how our feelings can lead us astray and lead us away from the truth. And then that can affect our relationships, right? How many of you have ever seen a child that doesn't have control of his emotions? Ever seen that? You ever been that child? Even as an adult? You've seen that, right? When our emotions are running away from ourselves, they can lead us astray and lead us into sin. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? This big movement in our culture to say whatever you feel like is right and true is like, that would be good if our hearts were not desperately sick. We're not just sick, we're desperately sick. And so sometimes our feelings are just way off base. And they're not based in reality. And sometimes they're even based on our sinful flesh that wants wicked, terrible things. Proverbs 25:28 says this, like a city that is broken into and without walls is a man who has no control over his spirit. If we just let the feelings run, let them go, we are like a city that has been destroyed. Our walls are gone. We have no defense. We are in danger. So we don't follow the waves in this culture that say, just do whatever you feel like. If it makes you feel good, it's got to be right. No. We have to be careful. We have to watch out. That child that is losing their mind, that is just can't control themselves. When my daughters are like that, I want to stay away from them or I want to put them in timeout because they need to go away. I'm not feeling united with them. And you know what that feels like. At the same time, you've probably experienced some adults that have a temper and they can't control themselves. And so when that anger comes, it's taking over everything. And guess what? There's no relationship that's happening at that moment. You're just going for survival. Proverbs 29:11, a fool gives full weight or full vent to his anger. The anger is coming in. Here's the vent. Just let it all out. Let it all come. Here's the anger. Have it all. But a wise man keeps himself under control. Now, it's not just negative emotions that we need to curtail. It's also positive emotions. And we see this in the party life. We've seen this in our culture. There's lots of people that just can't get enough of feeling good and the highs and wanting to go. And so, like Isaiah 56:12, these are the party people that are using alcohol. Come, they say, let us get wine and let us drink heavily of strong drink. And tomorrow we will be like today, only more so. This is the party lifestyle here. More goodness, happiness, joy. I want more, more, more. Well, if you live that way, you are just as off from God's will as you are those that are continually suffering. Folks, unchecked emotions lead us astray. Now, having said that, nevertheless, despite the danger that's there with emotions, it's not as if we are supposed to suppress all of our emotions. We're not supposed to say, there's an emotion, it's bad, let's suppress it. No, in fact, there are countless places where God commands us to have and express our feelings. He designed them for our good, after all. Now, given the bad rap that emotions often have, I'm going to allow me to just take some time to explain and give a defense for the goodness of emotions and God wanting us to express our emotions just appropriately and properly. So just give me a little bit while we make that case. Let's get two examples here just for starters. Psalm 100, verse 1 through 2. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. This is encouraging us, in fact, commanding us to have joy when we are singing, to come before God and express these emotions that we have. Likewise, Psalm 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Yes, there are ways to misuse that verse, but don't lose the fact that it's there and that he says, delight, do it. This is a command from God. You can delight in him. You can share the desires of your heart with him. Repeatedly in the Psalms, there's calls for shouts of joy when you're singing in excitement. David, in fact, if you remember, has the situation where they're bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. And he starts dancing and leaping for joy, and somehow he starts disrobing. I don't understand how that's appropriate. And yet, there it is in Scripture. A man after God's own heart is so excited to get the Ark of the Covenant back, to bring it back into the city of God, that he's leaping and dancing for joy. And he in fact, says to his wife, who's just disgusted with what he did, he's like, I had to celebrate the Lord. That's how David operated. And Jesus, of course, he had emotions too. He felt joy in pleasing the Father. He was angered at the Pharisees' hard-heartedness. He felt sorrow when he wept with Mary because Lazarus had died and they were going through that whole process. He felt compassion for the sick and the oppressed. He felt frustrated at the disciples when they couldn't cast out the demon-possessed guy, the son that was demon-possessed. Listen to his feelings when he says this in Matthew 17, 17. Oh, faithless and twisted generation! How long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him here to me. Can you hear the frustration? Can you hear the feeling in his voice? Jesus himself experienced emotion, and the list can go on and on and on. So, if our examples of David and especially Jesus experienced emotion, and we're commanded throughout Scripture to express emotion, then yes, there are appropriate ways to do that. So the major question is this: are emotions good or bad? The answer is both. It depends on the situation. So let's not come in and just say emotions are good, and let's not just come in and say emotions are bad. Let's say it depends on the situation. The same emotion, in fact, can be good in one instance and bad in another. Here's an example. We are told to fear the Lord. That's a good thing. But we're not supposed to fear man and what they can do to us. Right? There can be joy in the presence of God and joy in his church. But we shouldn't joy in revelry and sinful behavior. Same emotion, good on one side, bad on the other. So we need to figure out what are the good times to express our emotions, what are the bad times. How do we do that? Well, first, we keep in mind that our emotions are broken just like our minds. They're affected. They're corrupted. We live in a fallen world. So as we have to take every thought captive, we have to do something similar with our emotions and bring them into obedience with God. Here's a good way to think of this. I'm new to a lot of the horse stuff, but some of you guys here have grown up around horses. Some of you have ridden, some of you guys have done rodeos, and you know all about horses. And when you look at a horse, it's incredible that we've been able to domesticate them. Absolutely wild. If you think about a wild stallion and how you have to tame that horse, it's an incredible amount of work. And it takes a lot of patience and a lot of knowledge. You got to know what you're doing. And it's going to take a lot of effort for you to wrangle that horse and to get it to submit to you. But here's what you don't want to do with that horse. That horse is powerful. It's strong. It's mighty. It's majestic. You don't want to tame it to the point that it has, you've emasculated it. And you've took away its spirit. You've taken away all of its power. That's not what you want to do to a wild stallion. You want to tame it so that it's not wild, but you don't want to destroy its spirit. That's pretty much what you want to do with your emotions. You want to be able to tame them, but you don't want to squelch them and squash them. So, how then can we unite with God through our emotions? We unite with God, with our emotions, when we align them with God. When they're properly aligned with Him and connected to Him. That's how we connect with Him. Now, sometimes this is natural and it's easy. Like I read that passage, delight in the Lord. And there's times where you feel that. And you just naturally are like, yes, I love the Lord. I delight in the Lord. I want to give Him joy and the joy that I feel. Praise God for those moments. Praise God that you're already aligned with that, because oftentimes that's the case. Thank Him for those moments, because those are great. Now, when you're already there, you don't need to do anything else. So let me turn our attention to, well, what do we do when our emotions don't feel that way? So if we have it already, great, we're already on the right track. But what do we do if we're not in line? Our emotions are telling us they're believing lies. They're wanting to run us into all sorts of sin. What do we do in those situations? First, let me give you some things that you don't want to do with your emotions. Number one, you don't want to let your feelings run wild. That's the stallion that's just running. That doesn't give you any benefit. Your emotions just running wild and running rampant anywhere, that gives you nothing that's good. You have no control of it. In fact, you're probably going to get dragged by that horse wherever it wants to go. And it's spooked, and so it's going to take you wherever it's going to take you, and it's going to be a painful process. And you've probably been there before, or if you haven't, you've seen somebody that has. And it's not a pretty picture. So you don't want those emotions to go wild, right? Go back to the hot-tempered person. They can't control themselves. They're a terror to be around. You don't want to be that person. Second thing you don't want to do, you don't want to be stiff-necked. You don't want to be stiff-necked. So there are times where your emotions are off. They don't align with God. God's going to tell you, get them in line. And if you're stiff-necked, it's not going to go well for you. There's an example that is really good for this in Isaiah. And so in this passage, God is calling Israel to repentance. You have sinned. You haven't been doing what you're supposed to do. You need to repent. And so then He says this. Therefore, in that day, the Lord God of hosts called you to weeping, to wailing, to shaving the head, and to wearing sackcloth. That's what God wants them to be experiencing. So by the way, if anyone says to you, God just wants me to be happy. No, sometimes if you've been sinful, He wants you to wail. He wants you to feel bad. He wants you to feel sorrow. All right, so He wants these people to wail, to shave their head. Instead, there is gaiety and gladness, killing of cattle and slaughtering of sheep, eating of meat and drinking of wine. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we may die. These people are experiencing positive emotions, and God is going to judge them for that because they are stiff-necked. They're not listening to what God wants them to do. So if your emotions are not aligning with what God is telling you, get in line and get your emotions in line. Get them in control. Now, third thing you don't want to do is deny that you're feeling the feeling. You don't want to just deny that you're feeling what you're feeling. That doesn't do you any good. Let me give you an example of this. Okay, so, oh man. All right, back in junior high, I dated a girl, which is just ridiculous, but she ended up breaking up with me. And at the end of that week, she broke up with me. The end of that week, she went to the dance with one of my best friends. I was not feeling good about that, as you can imagine, right? And so it's the night of the dance, and I stayed home. And at that time, my 13, 14-year-old brain was trying to be a good Christian and say, all right, I'm not supposed to be angry. I'm not supposed to be jealous. I'm not supposed to covet what somebody else has. And so what I was doing, this is what I was doing. This is how I was trying to cope with this. Here I am. I stayed home, and it's like 10 o'clock at night. I'm usually winding down at this point. I'm in my living room just doing push-ups as hard and as fast as I can do them. All the while telling myself, I'm not angry. I'm not jealous. I'm not supposed to be those things. Do you think I really was? Yeah. I was really angry. I was super angry. I was so frustrated. So there I am. I'm just like trying to push it out as hard as I could. What good did it do me to deny the fact that I was feeling that way? I was still feeling that way. Me pretending like I wasn't angry didn't make me not angry. Me pretending I'm not sinning didn't mean I stopped sinning. There's a truth. There's a reality to your emotions. They are what they are. And just denying that you're feeling them doesn't do God any favors. In fact, you're lying to yourself and you're lying to God. Now, oftentimes in Christian circles, this is kind of the way we go because you know you're not supposed to feel that way. And you won't still want to feel good about yourself. And so it's like, I'm not actually jealous. I'm not actually this. I'm not actually that I'm not supposed to be. That doesn't do you any good. So don't deny the feelings that are there. You still don't want to be let them run wild, and you don't want to be stiff-necked, but you don't want to deny that you're having them. And the last one, the fourth one you don't want to do, you want to be careful in suppressing them, in how you suppress the feeling. Go back to the wild stallion idea. You don't want to overdo it. So it's like, all right, my God's here. He's told me that he loves me. He told me that I'm accepted. There should be emotions that are coming off of that, but I feel the opposite of that. Now, in you trying to align your emotions back to where God is, don't overdo it. Because eventually you make your heart callous. Your emotions start to deaden. And the good purposes that God has given you with those emotions, you're going to lose the capacity for that. Now, to give just a really good example of, all right, how do you do that? How do you express your emotions and let them be what they are, but still corral them and contain them? How do you tame that stallion? We're going to go to Psalm 13, verses 1 through 6. And we're going to see in this passage, it done perfectly, done really, really well. You're going to see both things happening. Expression of emotion and yet the control of it. So, verse 1 here. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Let's walk through this. First things first, he's experiencing negative emotions, really bad ones. And if you remember the story of David, it's not just like he's having a bad day. He has people trying to kill him. He's got enemies that want to prevail over him with his dead body right there. That's a bad time. So he's experiencing some really negative emotions. And with that, one of the things he's feeling is abandoned. He's feeling like God isn't there. The feelings he's feeling are telling him that the truth is God has abandoned you. And so what does he do? Does he just deny the feelings? No, in fact, he expresses them fully. He comes and he lays them all out before God. He throws all of that completely out, no filter. Here it is, God. This is what I feel. Now note that he feels comfortable and confident going to God this way. He knows that God will handle his emotions and can handle his emotions. He fully expresses them, right? So verses 1 and 2. It's this, boom, here it is. This is what I'm feeling. But then he moves on to this plea for connection. He's pleading to God. He's asking God to answer him. He's not just saying, you haven't answered me and I hate you now. He's saying, you haven't answered me, so I feel, and I want to feel the connection. I want to feel connected with you. And then there's this faith that he has. Even though he's feeling all that he's feeling. Verse 5, but I have trusted in your steadfast love. So he comes and he brings faith over his feelings. And his faith overrides what he's feeling. Even though he's there, and even though that's his experience, he says, no, I have trusted in you. And so what does he do? Then he recalibrates with the truth. He takes the truth that he knows about God. You have dealt bountifully with me. You have been good with me. He recalibrates his emotions. And he has what is true as more important than his feelings. And then you're going to notice that he's got healing that he's experiencing by rejoicing in the truth. This is where our emotions end up, at a place of healing, when we do this very thing. So let me end here with these three concepts to tie up all that we've talked about today. David has given us a prayer of union with God, but the way to get there is this. Number one, faith over feelings. You have your feelings, but they're not always right. And so you place your faith as more important. Your feelings don't go away. You don't suppress them. You don't tame that horse until it is lying down. No, those feelings are still strong, but your faith is stronger. Furthermore, second thing, the truth over your feelings. God has revealed the truth in his word. He's told us the truth. He's given us the spirit and the mind of Christ so that we can know what is true and discern what is true. And whatever is true overrides our feelings. But number three, and don't lose this one. Yes, faith over feelings. Yes, truth over feelings. But when you have truth and you have faith aligned, that leads to strong feelings. That leads to strong emotions. God didn't give us emotions so that when we came to him, all of a sudden we would throw those all away and not express them. No, he wants us to express those emotions. He wants us to have righteous anger when there's wickedness. He wants us to celebrate and be joyful with our spouse, with our family, with our loved ones here at church. He wants us to rejoice in him. Folks, when we do these things, this is how we connect with God. Because this is where God is. He is the truth. He's offered us the chance to connect with him in faith. And he has strong feelings himself. And so when we go to him and we share our emotions with him, whether that's grief, whether that's suffering, whether that's excitement, whether that's joy, whatever the emotions are, when we come to God and we align properly with him, we commune with him. And when we do that also, we commune with each other. And so with that, let me pray. Our band will come up and we will be able to sing emotionally using our emotions. And to praise God and align with him. Please pray with me. God in heaven, we thank you for the creation that you made us to be. We thank you, Lord, that through our emotions we can connect with you, we can align our lives with you, and we can share our emotions with you, Lord. We thank you that we don't have to hide who we are. We can express, even when we're sinful, we can express who we are to you, understanding that you are going to align us and you're going to move us away from that sin and free us from that. The truth will set us free, you promise. And so God, in the midst of our emotions, Lord, we pray that you would align them and you would wrestle them and you would allow us to find the balance there where we're able to tame them without suppressing them to an unhealthy way. And in so doing, God, may your glory shine in us and through us. May we be able to connect well with one another. May we be able to connect well with you. And in that, God, we pray that your glory would spread throughout the world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.